This is Colorado Matters from CPR News. I'm Ryan Warner. It's a painful discovery to learn your family owned slaves. Well, today and tomorrow, we're going to meet Coloradans, white people, who made that discovery and now have the desire and the means to make reparations. It can upend how you view your family to learn they were slave owners. The question is, then what? Today, we meet a retired financial strategist in the Denver area who will not only leave all her money for reparations, she also encourages other white people nationwide to do the same. She is Lottie Leib-Dula. Welcome.
Thank you, Ryan. Very happy to be here.
What made you so passionate about this issue?
I discovered things about my family that I had no knowledge of. I discovered in my grandmother's records that she had been a member of the KKK while she was at Smith College in the early 1900s.
In fact, you have a yearbook with you in which there is an ad, essentially, an emblazoning of the KKK logo on one of the pages.
I was stunned by that, and I found a picture of her wearing a robe, a hooded robe, in one of these yearbooks. I've always thought of my grandmother as a kind person, a person who made cookies for me, a person who wanted to make the world a better place. And when I discovered these things, I realized there was a very painful truth about my family who hail from the South. And I decided I really needed to look into this further. And my grandfather's side, first I found some daguerreotype photos from around the Civil War era, which were stunningly beautiful. And I was thrilled to find them. Immediately underneath, I found a ledger book. And as I went page by page, I discovered a list of people that had been enslaved by my second great-grandfather in Mississippi.
You have that ledger book with you. Will you open a page and read from some of the names?
This is page 27 and 28. The pages are titled Loss of Slaves by War, 1861 to 1865. Each slave is numbered. Their ages are listed, and also there's a valuation, and their ownership is listed. So number one is Edie. She's 45 years old and valued at $800. And it's hard to say the word owner. It's not right. This is my second great-grandfather, William Hayes Paxton. Number two, Julia. She's 26, valued at $1,400. The list goes on. There are 44 names on this list.
My goodness. How was it to reconcile with this history?
I feel like I'm at the very beginning of my path. I can't reconcile this history. What's clear to me is that if I've inherited any good qualities from my ancestors, what I can do now is to try to begin to make things right. My ancestors did wrong. It's right here in black and white. I have photographs. I have this ledger book. There's no question. So in order to make things right, I feel like I have a moral debt to pay to the descendants of enslaved people in this country. And I'm putting together a website so that other people like me can begin the process of making reparations for slavery.
Have you met other people, white people, with similar desires?
Yes, I found this ledger. I'm really brand new to this path. In January of 2018, that's when I found this ledger book and the Smith College.
So you're a year in.
I'm just a year in. This is how I'll spend the rest of my life. There is a group called Coming to the Table. It's a nationwide organization that links together descendants of slaveholders or slave traders with descendants of the enslaved. And together we work to try to eradicate institutional racism and make reparations.
What does reparations mean to you? So in a conversation that has already aired, it meant to one Denver woman giving $200,000 of an inheritance to a group that works on racial justice. What does it mean to you?
My personal reparations are just beginning. The first thing I thought of is, as I researched my own genealogy, I discovered that most of my ancestors were in one of three trades. There are many, many attorneys, judges, doctors and also people who governed this land, governors, mayors. And so I negotiated with United Negro College Fund to set up a scholarship in the name of my slaveholding ancestors. So I've set up a scholarship for anyone who would like to study political science, law, or medicine.
Presumably anyone who is African-American.
Yes, African-American people only. It's restricted. I've also worked to repatriate these records because it's very important for African-Americans to try to find their ancestors. And it's nearly impossible if you consider that people's names, we don't have last names. I think there's a wall in 1870. That's the first time the census listed Black people with their last names, et cetera. And it's nearly impossible to go back further than that unless people like me repatriate these documents that we have in our attics to help people.
To what extent have you relied on African Americans to help guide the journey you're taking? Differently put, you're a white woman. How do you not look like the preachy white woman telling Black people what reparations should look like?
I've taken my cues from coming to the table. There was a group that has put together a list of what they feel are good ways to make reparations.
Yeah, what are other ways?
Well, one way that I'm personally very excited about is making direct reparations. Earlier this year in June, I went to a national gathering of Coming to the Table, and a young African-American woman approached me and said, and I explained to her I was making this donation to United Negro College Fund. And she said, well, that's great. What about people who have already gone through college and have an enormous debt? And it turns out her education cost her $160,000. She is gone through school in international relations, and she just landed her dream job, which is working at the State Department. But this level of debt, she will never be able to pay this off at the low level of pay that she'll be making doing this civic work. She'll never be able to buy a house. So I thought, okay, I'll help you pay off your college debt.
You said earlier, it was fascinating, you said, this is how I'm going to spend the rest of my life, focused on this.
There's no question. And if only my life could be extended 250 or 400 years, maybe I'd make a small dent. But honestly, there's no way that I can recompense for the sins of my family, basically.
Have you decided on a dollar amount of what you'd like to give over your lifetime?
Yes, since I do, I used to do financial modeling for my career.
Yeah.
Of course, I modeled what I might be able to give. I think over the course of my lifetime, my goal is to give $500,000. And then through whatever means I can. And then at my death, the rest of it will go to making, setting up a reparations fund.
And the idea is to encourage many others as well to make reparations. I think that's part of what you see as your life's work now.
Yes, absolutely.
What would you say to people who think these are the sins of your ancestors, these are not your sins, that the daughter can't be held responsible for the sins of a great or great-great-grandfather?
I don't agree, because I feel like all of us as white people benefit from the effects of institutional racism. For instance, my forebears were lawmakers, politicians, doctors. These are the pillars of racism. I think this is how these things are held in place. These things exist today. I don't believe the past is the past. I believe it's fully present, these effects. So I am absolutely responsible.
I think of the 2014 piece from Ta-Nehisi Coates, The Case for Reparations, and he wrote, "Broach the topic of reparations today, and a barrage of questions inevitably follows. Who will be paid? How much will they be paid? And who will pay?" As a white person speaking to other white people, how do you address those concerns?
I don't have an answer, and I believe it's inestimable the amount that is owed. But if each person makes their effort, there's a development director who I met at the national gathering of Coming to the Table. He said if each white person were to allocate even 1% of their charitable gifts during the year, I believe the number is something like $390 billion of charitable gifts are given every year. If each person were to allocate 1% to a Black-run foundation, charity, or even direct reparations, we could begin the process of reparations. It does not take that much. Even if you only have $50 a year to give, take 10% of that $50
I think the natural question arises of where does it begin and where does it stop? And who else has experienced great suffering in this country? I mean, I think of Japanese Americans who were put in internment camps. I think of American Indians, for instance, the first peoples of this country. And I wonder how you've wrestled with that question as well.
Well, to me, the U.S. government owes reparations, and to date, they have not been willing to, the U.S. government is not willing to look at this issue.
Let me just say that Michigan Congressman John Conyers introduced a bill every year for more than two decades calling for, at minimum, a congressional study of slavery and its effects, and it also would have asked Congress to study appropriate remedies. That bill has never once made it to the House floor for debate. Conyers resigned in 2017.
Absolutely. But if you look, for instance, Germany made reparations for the Holocaust. We did make reparations to Japanese Americans for internment during World War II. It is absolutely important to make reparations. If H.R. 40 does not make it back for passage, then it is up to each one of us who's benefited from the effects of slavery, et cetera, who's earned wealth by subjugating others, to make reparations personally. And I will do that until I'm gone.
I think that's an important point, because what you're saying there is you're not just asking white people whose family owned slaves to think about this themselves. You're asking a much broader group, huh?
Yes, I believe anyone who is white, whether your family just moved here or has been here since the 1600s, like my family, everyone benefits by these pillars of racism. If you're white and you're walking down the street, you can walk up to a police officer without thinking you're going to be shot. If you go to school, most of the teachers there will match your own race. There is a level of invisible comfort we all have as white people that African Americans don't share.
What kind of discussions have you had with your family about this?
Well, I guess I'm lucky that my parents have passed away, because I think they would be deeply embarrassed about their family's past, especially because my parents were very liberal, but they never admitted to slaveholding past. I have told my sister that her kids are not going to inherit anything from me, that all of my money will go toward making reparations.
What was her reaction?
She said, thank you, from the family.
Really?
Thank you. She says, my kids are fine. This is more important. And thank you for doing this for our family.
Why does that make you tear up?
Because my sister realizes that righting a wrong is more important than having this money stay in the family.
Were you relieved when she reacted that way?
I was very relieved. Mm-hmm. So I feel good. I feel good doing it. I feel very strong doing it. And I know I'm doing the right thing.
Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Ryan.
Lottie Leib-Dula is a retired financial strategist in Denver and an advocate for reparations. This is Colorado Matters from CPR News.